June 30th.
Commissioner, you're ready to roll.
Okay. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Colquhoun in the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It is Friday, June 20th, approximately 2:35 p.m. The work session today is, I think, our second work session on case number PU 13-871. So I have a few comments, but I'll see if my colleagues have any. Well, you know, I'll guess I have a bunch of thoughts, I guess. But Randy, do you have any opening comments?
Not opening comments, no.
Julie, do you have any opening comments? I know it's your
usually port. Usually you pitch over to me, but did you?
Well, I just we have. I guess I usually would turn to our portfolio holder, but I wanted to, I guess, start the discussion with. We've got a request that came in for public or oral arguments, and so I didn't know if you wanted to cover that first because I have a bunch of thoughts on that. So I guess I'll turn it over to you because you'll then follow your lead. But I do want to talk.
That's
about
where
that,
I was going to start too.
Fair enough.
So we've gotten a request for oral argument and objection before us, I've talked to our attorneys. Well, I haven't talked to Alana because she was gone until just this morning, and we've been tied up in meetings all day. So I guess I'd be inclined to get some perspective from Alana first, since she's got some historical perspective here to offer that we don't have. And then we can talk about our thoughts on where we want to land with this. So, Alana, I know you've had about 10 minutes of warning.
Actually, Alana and I have talked through this already, so she's had some time. Her and Ryan talked over the weekend.
It might be a little rare, but it's not crazy to ask for oral argument. Some courts operate that way all the time. And Ryan and I did have some email conversations about it. We had those before the objection came, so you'd have to look through the merits of why someone asks in the request and the merits of the objection and try to sift through those, and I'm sure Ryan's ready to do that. We talked through procedure, and I think he's probably ready to talk to you about that. And then the only other question that we talked about, but I don't think we got to a final conclusion, was whether there was any additional notice that might be required. And I wanted to ask, you were going to have a conversation with the parties yesterday, correct?
Yeah.
And you did do that?
I was able to get a hold of Dan. Unfortunately, I was not Dan Kuntz from MDU. I was not able to get a hold of Matt Olson on behalf of North Central. He was busy. Yeah, Capital. I apologize. I keep going back to
we got a clean record here.
Yeah, with Capital. And so I was not able to get a hold of Matt. He and I played phone tag. And then while I was up here yesterday with Commissioner Fedorchek, he had called. By the time I got back, he was out of the office. And he's out today, as I understand it, as well. So first thing Monday morning, Matt and I will be touching base to get some more perspective on this. But at the same time, his objection had come through, which is essentially what I was asking him. What Capital's plans was moving forward.
Well, for my two cents worth, I guess, is I spent a lot of time after this was filed kind of going through the stuff that we've done in the past, and give you my candid observation is the last work session we had is that I clearly thought that Capital's got the leg up in this thing. So MDU wants another chance to come in and say their piece, why maybe I'm looking at the data wrong, which is if I'd have said that I'm leading it towards MDU, I don't think they'd be filing the oral argument. But all that being said, I think that for me the decision points are, do we want the ALJ to make this decision, or is this a commission decision? And then from that viewpoint, I think that stuns the next step of where we go with it, and how an appeals court looks at it. We know this case is going to go, I think, quite a ways, no matter how it plays, and I tend to be more along the line of, if somebody wants to say their piece, let them say their piece. But the question is, that's my viewpoint, and I don't know procedurally where my colleagues are at, because the ALJs have made this type of decision before, and then they have.
I think
it can be that way.
Based on my conversation with Alana, and I think that it would be up to the commission to make the decision whether or not to grant the request. Now, what we can do from there is we could. If the commission decides to grant the request, then we could say we can turn it over to the ALJ at that point to have, for lack of a better term, a pre-hearing conference with the attorneys and the parties. Because one of the questions I think needs to be cited, and it probably is a question of law, is whether or not a notice needs to go out and how long. Because there will be no new evidence presented, and the issues, I think, need to be, I agree with Capitol in their objection that the issues need to be enumerated, and perhaps the commission, maybe you guys want to grant the request and say, these are the issues we want to hear oral argument on, and that could just simply be the 10 issues from the notice, because that's really, that's all that's at play here. So there will be no new issues.
I think there's something that, because the MDU's letter said that they heard things in the work session that they didn't agree with, so you could even focus it down a little bit lower.
Yeah, we could force perhaps to get more specific on those, what those are.
I would like to be as specific as possible, and I think the 10 criteria covers everything.
Mm.
And so you basically open up for a rehash of everything that was covered in the hearing. I think it would be more productive to get to for MDU to be more specific about the number of questions and issues raised regarding the proper interpretation of evidence and applicable law. What are those? I mean, narrow them down. I also agree with Capitol's objection that we need to be specific and narrow, and then we can come up with the criteria. But I also fall with Commissioner Kalk that I think they should have a chance to say their piece.
I have a question, because I don't get
let me jump over to Commissioner Crisman here a little bit, because we kind of already bypassed the ALJ question. I think my colleague and I both, for Julie, we think that we might as well do it. But I wanted to hear what Randy says before we far down that road.
Frankly, I think this is an ALJ decision, but based on advice of counsel, I mean, I'm willing to make it, but I do think that that's what we hire an ALJ for, and so I find it odd that this falls to us, but I trust our counsel to have researched that and understand it better than I. So I'm willing to make the decision, and I guess if I'm going to make the decision, I lean toward hearing it. Although I hope they realize that with other things that are previously booked, you know, it's probably not going to be in the next couple of days. It's going to draw this out quite some time. An interesting point that the chairman made in that his comments that right now, and I don't remember exactly how you phrased it, if you're leaning or decided or what, but I'll use the term leaning. You can correct me if I'm mischaracterizing it, but toward Capitol Electric on the case, frankly, I find myself leaning the other way. And, you know, you've talked about that price shopping can get to be a problem with setting precedent that potential consumers price shop and cause us to maybe build out not as good of an electric, not as efficient an electric network as what we ought to. To me, though, this is about, you know, that's a factor in it, certainly. Who wouldn't when you're a big consumer like that? But to me, it's what I heard in that hearing as far as the consumer request was about quite a bit more than price shopping. It was about the responsiveness of the potential supplier. And, you know, that would include, you know, there was a discussion of upgrading the Sterling substation, the demand response system availability. I think that the customer in this case is very concerned about whether those things will ever happen if that's their provider. And so it's, I think, quite a bit more than price. And based on their request, I think there's a lot of points that are good for each side of this argument, but because of all those things, I think being a factor in what their who their desired provider is, that's why at this point I find myself leaning that way. So maybe the one who wants oral arguments here is going to talk themselves out of a vote here before it's over. I don't know.
Sure. Is there a position that the legal would recommend that one if when this gets appealed, it makes a stronger case or whatever the outcome is, whether the ALJ makes this decision or the commissioner, doesn't it matter?
I think that it's more appropriate for the commission to make this decision. I wanted to draw a distinction between something like a request for intervention.
Okay.
We commission made a generic decision a while back that they can be answered by an ALJ when people petition intervene. Their standards, what's your interest, is it going to drag the hearing out? Those are all things that you look at the petition and any objection and you can conclude things. But this request is all about the record and the law. And if the ALJ is not the substantive hearing officer, it's do you think that these parties can take the record and apply the law to it and help clarify it one way or the other? Would anything there be helpful for you in an oral argument? And the ALJ is not going to know the answer to that because that ALJ is not making that decision. They're going to look to the person's going to look for guidance to the commission. So I think it's really what would help you make a decision, which brings me to the question I was going to ask. Were there briefs filed? Normally we ask for briefs afterward, which is where the parties take that record and sift through it and apply it to the law and the 10 questions and try to help sift it down. And that's what I think they're trying to do in this oral argument request. But I think briefs would be essential. That's the kind of thing they're going to be writing to the Supreme Court, the same thing. So if you have a shot at it, at seeing that ahead of time and thinking about it that way, you're probably better off. But I would make them.
Well, they provided, proposed findings of fact, conclusions, law, and order, which you could almost argue kind of read like a brief.
Yeah, well, that's true. But a real brief would really just say, here's all the evidence that supports me, and here's how it fits the 10 factors and whatever. So I think you need briefs of some type, whether it's limited to this request or just to the whole thing.
Is it a vote that we would put on a motion at a meeting to?
Yes.
So that would be
okay. You mean our action on whether we're going to allow the oral arguments? That's a motion that we will make at the next.
Yes.
To approve or deny that request.
Right. And you can give direction to the ALJ to hold a pre-hearing conference and narrow everything or, figure out the procedure, whatever.
Is it your opinion that we need to narrow it? Us? To tell them what we want to hear about?
You can tell them what you expect this to be about. And if you want to put that in the motion, you can. Or if you want to defer something like that to the ALJ to hash it out around a table like this with Ryan and the two parties and come up with a tight procedure. You can do that either way.
Okay. Well, I think if we're going to, grant the request, then it doesn't do a lot of good for me to tell them what I want to hear if it's not what they're requesting to, have the oral arguments for to begin with. So I think I'd like to have them at least be involved so it's productive and addresses what they need or feel they need to talk about within a very limited parameter that's agreeable to all parties. So I would settle on the second approach with ALJ and Ryan and the two parties. I would think that would be more effective.
We would move that they do this and then let the ALJ sort out the details?
Yep.
Right? It seems reasonable. How do you work the time frame where we start asking questions, who knows how long that takes? It's their time talking, just their first pitch, is that how the time is limited?
I anticipate this going something like a Supreme Court argument, and I think that could be where the briefs could come in very helpful, because in that way, we might go off on a tangent and you guys might ask a whole bunch of questions and there might be something MDU really wants to hammer. There might be something Capitol really wants to hammer on this, because that's the other thing. Capitol is going to have an opportunity to respond orally to anything that happens here as well. MDU has requested rebuttal. So maybe there's the time for them, but we keep a tight clock. It's like the, for lack of a better term, it'd be like the Supreme Court, and whether that's the executive secretary or the ALJ, once that first, commissioners, you start the clock, you got 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it might
be. Can I filibuster one way or the other?
Just don't show up in a robe, Brian. Chief Justice
Colk.
It's scheduling some appointments with Justice Sandstrom maybe beforehand. And
that sounds good. Could that be the same day where MD would say their pitch and then Capital would say theirs and then MD would back? So
yep. Okay. The detriment to briefing would be a timing issue. It would slow things down a little bit more. But I think the kind of indication I'm hearing from the three of you is that if we're going to do this, we want to make sure we do it right. And I don't see how, you know, a couple extra days, a couple extra weeks is really going to hurt the matter here.
For requesting briefs,
yeah.
Well, as far as the timing, the company that the client, I mean, the holdup would be to Menards ultimately.
Right.
And the company that they want is the one who's causing the holdup, so.
Yeah, they could have already had their 2-1 vote and they just wasted 4 months in this thing. I mean, in reality, yeah. It is.
True. So then, I guess Alana, would this be appropriate to put this the motion to grant the request on the next meeting? And should I get together with the parties prior to that? Do you think, or wait till after?
I think you have enough public instruction on what's going to happen here that you can do it either way.
Okay.
But yeah, we could put it on the next meeting if the commission doesn't mind adding it.
Sure.
Well, I think so, and then schedule us. Because the three of us scheduled last week, and we couldn't find a date till July to do anything. Yeah. And this would be, I guess, at least a half day.
Probably, well, MDU requested 30 to 45 minutes. So you figure you want to give each party the same amount of time.
So at least a couple hours, depending on how many questions we want to ask.
Yep.
Well, The questions would be asked within the time limit.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. So they put together the motion for Wednesday, and then we could put it on scheduling for Wednesday as well. And companies would just have to make themselves available.
Okay.
And Ryan, if you can be here tomorrow, or at least give us your date. Is it tomorrow? Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
Today is today, Friday.
Friday.
Next Wednesday.
Yep.
All right.
Yep, that'll work.
Anything else to talk about today?
I don't think so.
Okay. Jerry, you've been pretty quiet. Any pitfalls you'd like to throw out here? You've got toughness.
I'm good. I think the work session went well.
Okay. Commissioner Chrisman?
Nothing to add.
Going once or twice, Commissioner Forcheck? All right. Thank you all. We'll close the work session on case number PU 13-871. Thank you all.